This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. I thank you for tuning in today. Today, we have an adventure for you. We have a man that was trained in the Kabbalah, a Jewish mysticism, and later he came to meet the Lord, which was quite an adventure. This man has had more adventures that I love having the opportunity to have him on the radio. But his claim to fame is that he was married to Dr. Rebecca Brown, and many people have been wanting to hear from him, and they've asked me to get him on the radio. But his second claim to fame would be is that I have known him for over 30 years. I have known him and his wife over 30 years.
Amen.
So he's an author, teacher, speaker. He has a ministry of going to car shows, car cruises. That sounds like a fun ministry. Here he is, my friend, Reverend Daniel Yoder.
Okay, well.
Your recordings went pretty well last week. One thing we messed up a little bit on is that story about the burning bush. Now, you got to admit that is unique, and many people want to hear that.
Yeah.
We want to hear it clearly, and some of that you ran together like mashed potatoes. I mean, do you cook mashed potatoes now that Rebecca's gone?
I don't cook at all. I don't know how.
You must be getting thinner. You getting thinner?
No, I'm actually eating too much junk food. I'm getting fatter.
Oh, me. Looks like we have to have a word of prayer.
Yep.
But anyhow, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful time together. We love you. We love you, Heavenly Father, and we're grateful that both of us can get together, Daniel and I, and I thank you for that. And of course, Father, we ask you for your guidance. What is important? What's important for what you need, what Daniel wants to say, and what I should say or not say? Thank you, Father.
Amen.
When I talk to you, I'm the man on the street. Remember, this is on secular radio, so I'm going to ask some real questions because the people that are listening to you are either driving home from work or driving to work, and, you know, they're not going to church. They're just playing the radio that's free. So I will be the man on the street, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
You had a most unusual experience. Last week when I talked to you, I asked you about the burning bush. And as I thought about talking to you all week, I realized that, well, Moses saw the burning bush and talked with God. And when I thought about that, it put some fear in my heart. I'm talking to a man that God would step aside and talk to him in a burning bush. There's got to be some similarities and something very important. So we'd like to hear, you had this experience. Tell us about how you went out of the church in a huff. Tell us from the beginning again, slowly. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I accepted Christ in 1986, but I'd gone to church after church because I thought the church could give me the answers to the questions I had. And I want answered. I read Kai's Bible, first wife's Bible, and it was marked up with her.
You read some of Rebecca's writings, uh-huh.
Writing and stuff like that. But I did not understand it. I didn't understand what the Bible was saying. And so I'd go to a church because there'd be a man who called himself a prophet there. And I read about the Bible. And I wanted to know what the prophecies were all about.
So some of these churches you went to, they would prophesy over you, okay?
And as I went to the churches, I prophesied it. I'd be living here. I'd be going there. I'd be having a ministry over there. I'd be part of that church or another church. By the time I was done, I had so many prophecies given to me, I didn't know who I was. And I left this one church after going down there, and it was a terrible day that day. It was on a Sunday. They had a fellowship dinner at the church, and I was driving a Porsche at the time, and I pulled in there. I was dressed in some nice clothes, and I sat down next to this real nice couple, and this guy walked up to me. No, son, no, you don't sit here. You come with us. And so I went over to this one table, and I asked how come I had to sit here at this table, at the table on this fellowship. We saw the kind of car you drive. We saw the watch you're wearing. And we want you to be part of this church, but we want you to be part of the church to help us. And I didn't understand what they said. They kept saying, you don't sit with poor people. You're not a poor man. So I got up to leave the church, and I was really upset. Oh, man, was I upset. And I walked by the couple, and I started yelling out. These people said I can't sit with these people because they're poor. And rich people don't sit with poor people. The church says so. And that's when I decided to start driving up into the mountains. And as I got up into the mountains, my car died on me. I'm a mechanic. When it died on me, I couldn't understand what was going on. So I got out, and I determined that the fuel filter got plugged some bad gasoline. So I started looking for a screwdriver or something to fuel filter off with and do something with it.
You were looking for some tools, a screwdriver or something, when you were to repair your car.
I couldn't find any tools in my whole car, and that's unusual. So anyway, I got in the timber, and there was a noise out there. Sound like some voices. And I walked out into the timber, and I saw this bush was on fire. And the thing that came to my mind was somebody threw a cigarette out, and when they did, they caught the bush on fire, and it could create a forest fire. Well, I didn't want that. So I started to gather some sand, and his voice came out so gentle. And he said, Daniel, why are you running? Why are you running to and fro? Why are you running? And I thought I was going insane. And I started to say something. All of a sudden, I fell to my knees. I was flat on my face. And this bush said, I asked this bush, who are you? This bush said, I am that I am. And I did not understand it because I read a week or two earlier about Moses. And I knew there was something wrong with some bush to talk to me. But what happened was, as I was on my face, the Lord told me that I no longer need to run to and fro seeking the word of God. That God in his Bible and God himself, that we don't have to run to every church and to every prophet and everything. And just ask God and he'll reveal to us. Well, anyway, he told me what my ministry would be, that I would stand in line and I'd pray for people. But he told me at the same time that if I was praying for somebody, that if there was sin in their life, I could not pray for them at that very moment. That what I would have to do is ask them to wait until after services, and I talked to them. Well, this did not go over very well at many places where I went to. In fact, I was up in Illinois, and I got this one church up there, Mary and Rebecca then, and this guy wanted prayer, and I had my hands up. I did not pray on a mic. I want to pray to the whole church hears me. So anyway, I told this guy, I cannot pray for you at this very moment. I cannot do it. But I will talk to you after the services. He got real mad. He said, why can't you pray for me? I said, sir, I cannot. This man got real upset. He started yelling out. He said, this man is not a man of God. He can't pray for me right now. He said, he's got to wait until... I said, sir, please, you don't want to know why. He said, will you tell me why right now you cannot pray for me? I said, okay. I said, you got pornography. You got a Playboy magazine. You got tapes out there of pornography. I said, this is what your problem is. He got real scared, turned white, and fell to his knees and started repenting right there on the spot. He was the co-pastor of that church. And this is the ministry that God has given me. And that's about it for that burning bush. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, the burning bush. Good. Okay, thank you. So part of your ministry is just who you are.
I do not want to be anybody special. I'm not a special person. I'm just a man who loves God.
Okay. Part of your ministry is just who you are.
Yes.
Does that make you special? Well, I guess in comparison to other people, yes, you're different, you're unique, and we're not looking to make you special, but your ministry is who you are, what you've learned, and that you share, that you give, and we get blessed. Okay? You have discovered things, you have had insight, you've had opportunities that other people have not had. So,
right.
Okay, so you are interesting. If you don't want to concede to the other things, you're interesting. Now, as we read the books that you've been involved in, and the book I brought today was The Unbroken Curses, and that's where you are a co-author with Dr. Rebecca Brown, and that book is a fascinating book, but this was your first chance to become an author, correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, not many people get an opportunity to become an author. And we want to get back to what you talked about last week, about your family. And you brought up that your grandfather, David Ben-Gurion, was your grandfather. And when you brought that up, you also told us last week that you went to school, I guess you called a Kabbalah.
Kabbalah.
You went to school, and so that stirred up some interest. I'm going to tell you, some people are interested in hearing that. When you went to school, did you see your grandfather a lot?
No, I saw my grandfather when I was about 14 years old.
Okay.
Wow. Let's see, David Ben-Gurion, the Prime Minister of Israel, after the Second World War. Wow.
Before that, I only saw him about once or twice when I was a younger person. But he was Jewish. And my family, my mother and my father, they were Satanists.
He is what?
My grandfather was Jewish, but my mother and my father were New Age, and they were Satanists.
Okay. You went to school, a Kabbalah school. What is that? What do you learn?
It's a school that teach you mysticism, and they have certain rabbis that they believe were called by God, and they're above and beyond anything in the Bible. They do not believe that the Bible is complete. They believe that I don't know how to say this properly. They believe that Jesus was not the Son of God. They believe that half the people in the Bible were not real.
Okay. Well, they get involved with curses and things like that. Wasn't that part of the study?
Yes.
They have symbols. I had a Jewish friend, and when he got mad at me, he drew symbols on the walls of my shop.
Yeah. Well, let me give you an idea. The Kabbalah is an ancient Jewish tradition, a mystical interpretation of the Bible. They believe that the Bible is not interpreted properly. Starts back in the Middle Ages, the Kabbalah did. The Kabbalah is an esoteric teaching meant to explain the relationship between unchanging God and a mysterious eon Sah, or the infinite one.
Those beliefs are involved with Jewish people. They respect the Kabbalah.
Yes, but there's two different places, or two different types of teaching. One in the Kabbalah is that of Jewish mysticism, and the other is that of satanic mysticism.
Greek mysticism and satanic mysticism.
Yes. It depends on who is translating at the time. They do not believe that my family did not believe that the Bible or the Torah was legitimate.
And, okay, they don't. But then they have their own books.
Yes, they have their own books. They have their own traditions. Well, yeah. But the Kabbalah, if I put it simply, it's a book of Jewish mysticism or life of mysticism that's sort of like Islam. Islam does not believe that is just more than
they don't accept then who Jesus is.
Well, yeah. But a good man, if they even believe that, they don't really believe that, you know, the books and stuff that the Kabbalah uses was written by these rabbis, and they're not anything to do with the Bible. They believe in the true essence that everybody is a god. And you got to understand something. The reason they have these schools is the Kabbalah requires that there's going to be much study on the behalf of the individual of both the Torah and the Talmud. And the scholars, they want you to learn about this group of rabbis that lived out in the middle of nowhere back during, you know, after Christ died. They, you know, there's, like I said, the Kabbalah is made up of two different things. Their Kabbalah is done where they try to add to it and they try to take away from it. Or the Kabbalah says that Satan, they don't even call him Satan, they call him the hidden one, the hidden knowledge, is that they believe that he is not a bad person.
Not a bad person.
That's why they get into Satanism. They don't call it Satanism, but that's what it is.
Okay. And now, like in the occult, does he make appearances, Satan?
Yes, he does.
And special meetings?
Yes. They do sacrifices and stuff of animals like they did in the Old Testament.
Do they have power in the world today? Or are they our leaders? Are they guiding our education? What are they doing today?
Yes, they do. And it depends on where you're from. Over in Australia, it's called the Fabian Society.
What's that society?
The Fabian.
Fabian.
Like the actor Fabian?
Yes.
There's a group called the Fabian Society out there, and they're into mysticism, and they believe like the Kabbalah.
Okay, I think I've run into people like that. They have prayer time and such, meditation time?
Yes. Well, see, the Kabbalah bracelet, many of the actors out in Hollywood started reaching into the Kabbalah and started doing training in the Kabbalah. They actually want more power, and so they'll think that by joining the Kabbalah, they'll get more power. And they'll be recognized by a higher society of people.
Yes. Okay. Then you were able to educate Rebecca, your wife, on these matters as she began this type of ministry.
The type of ministry she had was nothing to do with me. That had to do with Elaine, because I did not know Rebecca back in 86 or any time like back at that time. I did not know Rebecca until November 7th, 1989.
I wrote and talked to you, Rebecca, in about 1990. About the midway in that year.
I met Rebecca on November 7th, 1989, and we got married on December 10th, 1989.
Oh, my. When we read the books and we listen to Rebecca, we find out that your family, they turned against you.
Yes.
And it became a battle. How about telling us something about that?
Well, when I accepted Christ, they knew that I could expose them for what they were doing. And in the beginning, with teaching Rebecca, sharing Rebecca, I shared what my family could do and would do and who they were. And in doing so, Rebecca started ministering on that teaching. It was in 1990, 1991. Well, my family turned against me to the point that they tried to have me killed. And my mother used to show up everywhere trying to find me and try to attack me or try to attack Rebecca. And in doing so, they had me arrested one time. And then, of course, the charges were dropped. But I have literally been running. I actually ran a long time away from my family. They charged me that I created false identities.
I didn't get that still.
They said I created false identity.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of power then to chase you?
They knew exactly where we were at all times because the demons would tell them where we was at.
They always knew?
Yes.
Wow.
When we moved here to Arkansas, we moved out on a road. And for 8 years on that road, my family just did nothing but attack, attack, attack. And even had the neighbors on that road attack us. And when we moved where we're at right now, the attacks totally stopped.
And that was God helping you right then and there then.
Yes, it was. God has a mission for every person out there if we will actually do that. You know, we got to be in tune with God to know what he wants. You know, God wants to make a covenant with all of us. He wants a covenant with us to be our Lord, our God. He wants a covenant with us to take care of us. He wants to, you know, he delights in making covenants. And so Rebecca and I made a covenant. That's what standing on the rock is all about, is a covenant with God.
So this new place you moved to, they're not able to get through.
No, my mom passed away about that same time. Right now, I have no family members except for me. I'm the last of the Mohicans, as they say. I don't have any family members that's alive.
Years ago, now when I was flying, I was able to fly, and you were a pilot, we'll bring that up. When I was getting my pilot license, what I wanted to do, I live in Pennsylvania, and I wanted to fly down to visit you. That's one of the reasons I wanted to get my license, so I could fly down to see you. So I've always had an interest in you and Rebecca, so consider me a family, sir.
Okay, thank you.
That was my desire. I want to go on to maybe the next point. Last time I talked with you, you told me about your ministry in Brazil. And we were actually talking about what's your ministry, what are you doing now? And you told me you went to Brazil. And I've been to Brazil a few times. And you start telling me about miracles happening in Brazil.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
We was down there in different towns in Brazil, 7 or 8 towns, cities in Brazil. And the last week we was there, we was at a camp meeting. The Lord just impressed on me to pour water on those that were thirsty. And I did that. I asked this one person if they'd give me a bottle of water. And they did. And it just happened to be, he said, what do you want the water for? I'm supposed to pour on people tonight and have them healed. That's what the Lord told me. And so she showed me her hand. And in a pineapple field, she cut off her thumb and one of her fingers. She said, well, God gave me a finger and a hand. And here I'm saying, oh, you know, I'm skeptical, but yet I have to obey God. And so I poured water on her head, and there in front of 10,000 people, she grew a finger and a thumb.
Oh my, yes, wow, yes.
The Lord said he's going to give somebody here a new heart. This guy came up there and he pulled his shirt open. He just had open heart surgery. And he said, I want my new heart. Now, they're talking down there in Portuguese, and my interpreter looked at me kind of funny. And I said, okay. You know, once again, I was skeptical, not gonna lie. But the Lord said, obey me, obey me. He said, I'm looking for people to obey me. So I said, okay. I poured the water on his head. I poured the water on his chest. And in front of these same 10,000 people, his open heart surgery closed up, and he had a new heart given to him.
Wow. That's God.
This happened time and time again, miracle after miracle, because the people down there had simple, childlike faith. We analyze America, but down there in Brazil, they believe, just simply believe. Well, this has happened not only in Brazil, it's happened in Cameroon, it's happened in Benin, it's happened in Ivory Coast. I've seen miracle after miracle happen in these third world nations because the people simply believe in God. If a pastor says it, they believe it. And then when they see it happen, then more people start believing it.
Right.
And see, in America here, we don't see miracles like that happen very often. We do see them. But I've seen them raise the dead in Africa. I've seen them raise the dead in South America. I mean, I've actually died being raised from the dead. Because the people simply believe.
Wonderful.
The Bible says we're to have childlike faith.
Yes.
A child has no worries about where its meal is going to come from because mom or dad's going to give it to them. We worry in America. Are we going to pay the rent? Do this. Are we going to do that? We don't trust God 1,000%.
Yes, that's true.
I hear people over and over, you know, I've seen people want prayer every 5 minutes because they don't trust God with prayer. We have a problem about analyzing God. We analyze who he is. who is God? Well, he didn't answer my prayer, so maybe he's not God. And then we go back to church, well, he is God. Then he's not God. Then he is God. You know, we can't make up our mind.
Well, I find out in my life now that God answers my simple prayers. And even for people in other countries, if I pray, something happens. It doesn't take me shaking my crib and screaming and pleading. No, it doesn't.
We are going to have to start believing that the Bible is real, that God is real, and if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. You know, I learned a long time ago that all I got to do is trust God and he takes care of me. You know, I find children have more faith than adults do. I was just thinking here about some of the children that I met over my lifetime and how they don't seem to, if you talk to them about God, they sit there and listen. If you talk to an adult about God, they think, well, you're some fruitcake, some strange person. You know, I believe that we need to start coming to God as a child. If we're the child, if we're supposed to be children of God, then let's act like it and start coming to him as a child. And that's about all I have to say about that.
Okay, that's good. I thank you, Father, for this time. Once again, we love you. We appreciate you. We want you and we welcome you. And Lord God, as Daniel and I talk, we ask for your guidance and to help those people that hear our voices today, to help them see something about you, something they need to know, and that they realize that coming to you in a childlike faith, trusting and believing childlike faith, will bring results in your life. Amen.
Amen. That's all we can do is believe like a child. When we do that, then he answers our prayers. And that's the trouble. I see God answer my prayers time and time again, and I see him not answer my prayers when I ask amiss.
Give me an example.
Do you have an example?
Yes.
When Rebecca passed away, I wanted to die myself. I didn't want to live any longer. And he did not honor that. I asked him to take me home. I'm still here.
Wow.
Because he had another kid, a call on my life. You know, so many times we wind up asking God to take us home. We ask God for this woman, that God, a man. We ask for things that's stupid. Instead of saying, God, here I am. Whatever you have in store for me, so be it.
Yes. Well, Daniel, that's all the time we have.
Okay.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
So, my friend, until we meet again, God bless you.
You too. Be blessed. Thank you.
Have you ever heard Messiah has come? It says in his word to cleanse everyone. Atonement he made, iniquity bore, that we can find life with him evermore. The sacrifice lamb has been slain. His blood on the altar has stained to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring glory to heaven. Salvation has come to the world, God's own Son to the world. Jesus, the one for the world, Yeshua is here.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.